Hi, guys, and welcome. This is Jen Gaeta Siciliano, artist, memoir writer, bipolar psychiatric survivor, and your host of Not As Crazy As You Think podcast, the place that offers an alternative perspective on mental illness, highlighting creativity, non-conventional healing, and breaking on through to the other side. If you are ready for a new narrative on the mental realm that celebrates crazy and cool without penalty, then Not As Crazy As You Think is for you. I never paid much attention to Britney Spears. In fact, I tried not to pay attention to her, which was difficult to do because her image and music were all over the place. She always seemed to me to be a bit too sexy for her own good, and especially for her age, and her music was far too poppy for my taste. But I did dress up as her once on Halloween in that schoolgirl outfit, which didn't go over too well with the administration when I showed up at the Halloween party at the Catholic grammar school I was working at as the English teacher. Well, the middle school boys liked it. So she was the icon I found amusing and maybe didn't have much respect for. But I did take stark notice of a particular performance she gave at the MTV Video Music Awards in September 2007. She was so slow on that stage and could barely move, and definitely couldn't emote or have control over her expressive output. I knew she was on drugs, but not illicit drugs. I knew what she was on was legal and very easy to get and almost impossible to get off. They put her on psych meds and she couldn't be her explosive self anymore. And it was then when I knew Britney's life would be changed forever. And sadly, I was right. It was earlier that year on February 18th, 2007, when she shaved her head after checking out of a rehab facility in the Caribbean. And I knew she was not going to get away with it, like bald Sinead O'Connor got away with ripping up a picture of the Pope on Saturday Night Live. Her brand spoke to an entirely different population. Pop stars like Britney were not allowed to shave their head, and when she finally had it with the paparazzi taking over her every walking step, she did something that seemed wild at the time, but not unprovoked. Early on, Britney embraced the photographers. She was super young as a teen when she just got started in the business, and from a tiny town in Louisiana, so the California spotlight was appealing at first, but the paparazzi became aggressive over the years and the tabloids vicious. She reacted as many might. With so many years of them crossing the line, it's totally reasonable that she lost it. And because she attacked the paparazzi with an umbrella right after she shaved her head, she was portrayed as insane with irreparable damage. Because in our culture, any extreme emotion that is against what the majority thinks is okay and normal is thought of as crazy, such as photographers swarming the rich and famous. Who could live with that harassment every time you left the house to get a cup of coffee? I would have done much worse. But then again, I'm bipolar too. 2007 was a bad year for Britney, and we've all had bad years. Just months before the incident, Britney, then just 25 years old, had filed for divorce from Kevin Federline, the father of her two sons. Both parties filed for sole custody. 2 days after shaving her head, she checked into Promises Malibu Alcohol and Drug Rehab Treatment Facility. And when she returned after 24 hours, her ex-husband Kevin asked for an emergency hearing regarding custody of their two sons. She was humbled. She hit rock bottom, and her world was crumbling around her. In July, the divorce was finalized. In August, she fled the scene from a car accident because she didn't have a California driver's license. By October, based on her behavior, a court ordered Britney to hand over her custody of her two sons, then ages 1 and 2, to her ex-husband, which is extremely rare for a mother to lose custody of her children. But despite her troubles, by November, her new album debuted at number 2 on the Billboard charts. However, her mental health crisis continued into the next year when she was rushed to a hospital and placed on a psychiatric hold after refusing to return her kids to Kevin after visitation. It was then the conservatorship had begun. So what is conservatorship? Usually a conservatorship or a guardianship, depending on what state you're in, is given to a gravely disabled person, someone who has dementia, for instance, and cannot handle their daily living. This is not the case with Britney, but with the label of bipolar disorder deep in her records. To the institution, she is no longer the Britney we once knew, and never will be again. In California, the 5150 is a form regarding involuntary treatment for a 72-hour hold. In New York, from the Office of Mental Health, I was given a 474 form, which admits me as an emergency status patient because I am alleged to have a mental illness for which immediate observation, care, and treatment in a hospital is appropriate. It doesn't matter if you're in a fine state. They decide what that state is. Even if you go before them and are completely honest and are telling the truth in their records, which I have personally experienced again and again, they take what you say and they just judge it as complete lunacy. In my personal records, again and again, they said the things that I was saying were true were delusional, and I have facts and proof to back up my story. But once you go before the physician, it only needs to be suspected that you have an illness. But if you have a label already, the imprisonment is unavoidable. After a 48-hour hold, you are again evaluated by another psychiatrist, and they determine if you need to stay up to 15 days, and then you can request a court hearing. But subsequent to admission, if no request for a court hearing is made, the director may retain the patient for up to 60 days without taking any other action. These procedures are unconstitutional, inhumane, and undemocratic. A person should not need to prove they deserve to be free in this country. But I have been going through this my entire life, and to no avail under their punitive system. In California, during a 5250, a 14-day hold, which Britney Spears received afterwards, they must have a probable cause hearing where the hospital presents evidence as to why the patient needs further treatment. And after that, a 5350 form, which Brittany also received, is filed, ensuring continued stay if the person after 17 days remains gravely disabled. For those people who have no experience with the mental health system in this country, you have no idea how often this takes place, how people's lives are ruined and taken over by the institution. And you don't need to have a conservatorship to have no rights in this country. You only need to have a diagnosis. State laws and rules regarding involuntary commitment are subject to the Due Process Clause of the 14th Amendment, which guarantees the right to be free from governmental restraint and the right not to be confined unnecessarily. But this is not done in practice. To be clear, the psychiatric institution has power over the law, and you will always lose with them. Because once they have you pinned in their worldview, you are forever disabled, and they have the entire world in delusion about what they know about people's minds and capacities, even when all the evidence in the world is showing otherwise. I thought I was something special when I first fell into the hands of the psychiatric institution and they started taking over my life. But Brittany, she's so distinctly unique, bringing so much joy to millions worldwide. If she had landed earlier in their hands, she would never have become the star she became. That's what they are trying to prevent. The deviant superstar challenging status quo norms. When Brittany was in the hospital in 2008, her father, Jamie, went before the court to request a conservatorship, presumably to make sure that her finances were okay when she went through this. But she received a probate conservatorship and has two conservators, one that is a conservator for her person who makes sure that she is cared for and protected, and the other one who handles her estate, like paying bills and collecting a person's income, if the conservatee is deemed not able to do so. Jamie at the time was involved with both. At the time, she had only two involuntary psychiatric evaluations. I've had seven. Others have had so many more than me. We are unfree in this country based on their ideas about who we are. In the article from the New York Times, Britney Spears and the Last Resort of Mental Health Care, written on June 29, 2021, by Spencer Bocott Lindell, he writes a quote that Zoe Brennan Crone a staff lawyer with the American Civil Liberties Union's Disability Rights Project, said, "Conservatorship means the court is taking away the civil liberties from one person and giving them to someone else. It is the court weighing into the person's life and saying, you, as a person with a disability, are no longer able to make decisions about yourself and livelihood, such as where you live and how you support and feed yourself, and we are putting someone else in charge of making those decisions. Your conservator can make decisions like whether you can start or stop taking psychiatric medications, accept other medical treatment, manage your money, and decide where to live. When you are on conservatorship, the court may limit your right to vote, to enter into contracts, to drive, or to own a firearm. In Brittany's case, it's even further restrictive." Oh, there are ways to not be put on a conservatorship, to show that you have a place to stay, or to prove that you can get your own food and keep clothes on your back. And if a good doctor or therapist in the community is willing, he can testify for you on your behalf, but don't count on it. The system is not democratic. You are guilty until proven innocent, and the psychiatrist already goes into the scene with the diagnosis, so he knows not to override that diagnosis. And so, how does one get off of a conservatorship? Well, it isn't easy. Almost never done. The New York Times documentary made in early 2021, Framing Brittany, began waking people up to what the Free Brittany movement was all about. When I sat with it, I remember all those reasons why the world fell in love with her and why I couldn't. I hadn't been in my own sexy skin since I lived in New York City after graduation in 1994, because that's the year psychiatry took over my life, and any chance of my becoming a grown woman on my own terms was destroyed. And it wasn't until my 40s when I finally felt as though I became a woman. But Brittany embraced being a girl and played that balance between what a girl is and what she wants to become so well. I was overwhelmed by her ease in doing it, not only for herself, but in full public view. Now, as a woman comfortable in my own skin, I want to squeeze her and celebrate her and say, yeah, who cares you wear next to nothing and dance with a snake? I'm all for that shit. Now that Brittany has entered my world, I mourn that she can never be her younger self again. The free and admired girl everyone grew to idolize. The Free Brittany campaign advocates the termination of the conservatorship, but it's clear how much people do not understand why we fight so hard against this system, because they really don't know what is going on daily to thousands of people. In Framing Brittany and in the media, I hear things like, but I don't understand, why is this still going on? How is it that she is incompetent when she is still working as a worldwide pop star? That is because psychiatry claims its power under their biomedical model, which states that these illnesses are lifelong and get worse over the course of time. They are degenerative conditions, according to their logic. They have no cure and are not affected much by environmental influences, requiring ongoing treatment. We rely so much on these doctors who make these decisions about what is normal, abnormal, or risky behavior. But most pop or rock stars engage in what our society calls risky behavior. The question everyone has, again, is how Brittany still remains gravely disabled in the assessment that they make when she is capable of so much. Right. Doesn't make sense, right? Imagine the dilemma for the rest of us who are not worldwide pop stars. We have no chance. Because depending on what they witness on that particular day when the all-knowing psychiatrist in the hospital secures you a label of a supposed lifelong degenerative disease, you are stuck with that assessment of who you are and who you appeared to be in that moment of distress for the rest of your life. She could not recover on paper from losing it in front of everyone, a state of mind that defenders of the conservatorship to this day are pointing to as evidence of a permanent problem securing her lifelong imprisonment. In their science, a person who is afflicted with a grave mental illness, in Brittany's case, the reported diagnosis again is bipolar disorder, which is the worst next to schizophrenia, she doesn't have the same rights as anyone else. Anyone can do anything to us. We have no civil rights and no human rights, and because our minds don't work according to how they see reality, In their books, we are forever incompetent. I actually learned what the Free Britney campaign was all about only a week after Britney's testimony, when I saw the Inner Compass Initiative, a psychiatric survivor group I follow, which helps and informs people how to get off psychiatric drugs and get out of the mental health care system. They were holding an event regarding hashtag Free Britney, hosted by executive director Laura Delano, who joined attorney Jim Godstein, who has a breadth of experience with dealing with psychiatric harms and abuses, and UCLA professor David Cohen, to discuss conservatorship, psychiatric power, and what Britney's story means for all of us in this movement. David Cohen just recently published in Psychiatric Services Journal in January 2021 the article, Incidences of Involuntary Psychiatric Detentions in 25 U.S. States, and he asserts the exact duration of involuntary commitments is not disclosed in any statistics by any state. There are a list of types of overriding takeovers the psychiatric system imposes, from involuntary psychiatric detentions, inpatient commitments, outpatient commitments when you're in your own home. Other times, people could have court orders or shadow court order to enforce that you must comply with treatment medication, with screening urine, and then you've got forced medication orders like through programs like AOT, assisted outpatient treatment. You've got rapid tranquilizations, which is when they inject high doses of antipsychotics and bring you into a state of docility in an emergency room. You've got seclusions where you're locked in a room. You have restraints to keep you immobile to your bed. There's forced electroshock. Most of these practices are in the dark and nobody knows it. Thousands of cases are occurring daily. And even Britney alluded to this in her testimony. And hasn't her heartfelt testimony convinced us of the cruelty of the mental health system yet? I've been trying to call out for decades the institution's unethical practices regarding forced drugging and involuntary detainment, but people never seemed to care that I had loss of freedom. It didn't affect them. I was nobody so special, and I must have done something to deserve it, right? Not in a free country. We have no trial, and we are always assumed guilty until proven innocent, and the burden of proof lies with us, and yet we don't have the ability to think or understand our reality, so this is impossible. This lifelong sentence Britney received is a result of not her wrongdoing or sin, but the checking of a box on the form that was filled out when she entered that day, when she was only 25 years old. I was 22 when they sucked me in, but I just turned 50 yesterday, and I can tell you with certainty I am not the girl of long ago, for better or for worse. Time moves on, we evolve, but they don't wish for us to evolve. One of the judges on a podcast I was listening to said, "It feels like the court hasn't taken into account her evolution." Isn't this now the most obvious true statement for all to see? I love that people can't wrap their minds around this situation. I listen to a variety of good podcasters, attorneys, judges, authors, news correspondents, and civil rights activists on the issue, as they refer to her artistic and financial success as proof that she is self-sufficient. But this is not the case with how they see mental illness. From the article, Testing Britney Spears, Restoring Rights Can Be Rare and Difficult, by Jan Hoffman on July 23rd, 2021, she writes, "If someone is doing well, isn't the conservatorship no longer necessary? Yes and no. Judges take the conservative approach to freedom. Describing the Kafkaesque conundrum of conservatorship, Zoe Brennan Crone, a disabilities rights lawyer with the American Civil Liberties Union, said, "If she's doing great, the system is working and should continue. If she is making choices others disagree with, then she's unreliable and she needs the system." Or, as Kristen Booth Glenn, a former New York State judge who oversaw such cases and now works to reform the system, put it, "Conservatorship and guardianship are like roach motels. You can check in, but you can't check out." We can point to the laws of the conservatorship, but the laws that are in place do not protect the mentally ill. It's much deeper than that. because it governs how we think about who should be free and who should be in chains in this country. Brittany used the word slavery in her testimony. She and I and millions of us are enslaved by what they say we are to everyone else. And never has someone freed themselves from this stigma of mental illness unless they have personally denounced the system as they break away. Sarah Haynes from The View says that this idea of treatment against someone's will with no involvement from the person involving something as personal as one's own mental health is what's disturbing. She says, there is a difference between psychosis and extreme behavior and those who are highly functioning. But the truth is we are all highly functioning in our own way, even if we have experienced psychosis, which they ignore. There is this strange belief that permeates our society that those with labels have biological limitations in our thoughts and feelings. It all comes down to believing that you are only made up of chemicals and that you are only animals. It is wrong. It invokes racism, white supremacy, anti-Semitism, and hatred towards the mentally ill. This is more than an antiquated view of mental health. It is showing to the world that there is a fundamental anti-democratic thread that is woven through our society, that I have been screaming to a deaf world my entire adult lifetime, but couldn't shout loud enough to be heard. Something Brittany also knows the pain of. The sad thing is, people who are anti-Brittany say things like, well, we did see a mental breakdown in 2008. Let it go already. This 2008 evidence that showed itself in court, which created a lifelong sentence for Brittany, how could this still be used as evidence today? She shaved her head. So label her crazy and take away her freedom forever in this lifetime? I have heard again and again by commentators across the board, is this even possible in America? Isn't this illegal? Yes, it's possible. And yes, it should be illegal. And it is happening to millions worldwide. It's not only conservatorships. It's the whole system that makes it possible for abuses to occur. People who are confused are saying, but I don't get it. How can she be incapable of making decisions and incompetent? Living as a worldwide pop star surely shows a level of success, implying that you're extremely competent. It didn't matter that she made a major comeback only months after her disastrous years of 2007 and 2008. From 2009 onward, she was touring again with new albums, hitting top of the charts, and in her award-winning Las Vegas residency with a show that ran from 2013 to 2017. But she is seen as lacking capacity. But for how long? People change, circumstances change, but in their science, this is not possible. The best anyone can hope for is to remain a drugged-up version of a semblance of your old self, propped up by everyone involved. Many people don't realize that the institution ropes in the family members. We can't just vilify Jamie. And not even sweet old Brittany knows the ins and outs of this abusive system. She can only see the cruelty of her own situation, which her father has exploited. From the time Jamie, her father, took on the conservatorship, he has earned millions of dollars for the commissions he made off different tours Brittany did, particularly in Vegas, where she performed close to 250 shows, banking an estimated $35 million per year, for which Jamie was awarded handsomely. The court approved that he received 1.5% of gross revenues related to the performances and merchandise related to the residency. It was one of the most popular Vegas shows of all time. They know she's the goose that lays the golden eggs. The more she works, the more they get paid. In August 2019, there was a problem between her two sons and Jamie, where Kevin Federline, the father, got a restraining order against him. Then Jody Montgomery became the temporary conservator in 2019. The co-conservator also became Bessemer Trust for the financial part of the conservatorship, who since has resigned. But Brittany no longer wants her father on. She has asked that Jody remain on as the conservator of her person, probably because maybe she's not as bad as her father is. The lesser of two evils. Sam Ingham also resigned as her counselor, and her manager also resigned. And the court last week surprisingly granted Brittany the right to her own attorney, something that was beforehand denied up until the hearing. Her new attorney is Matthew Rosengart, and he seems to be a strong advocate of Brittany's rights. He looks like he'll knife you with the truth if you're not careful. I hope he opens up the carcass for all the world to see the living shit that is pasted all over the guts of psychiatry. The institution has offered far more harm than good. When the leaked audio of Britney Spears' testimony at her conservatorship hearing on June 23rd, it was clearly articulated that there were abuses of power by not only the conservator of her father, Jamie, but if you do listen more clearly, Brittany was very open about the abuse she personally suffered by the mental health system, showing that the mentally ill or labeled mentally ill are not only second-class citizens with no civil rights in this country, but are also deserving of no basic human rights. In her testimony, she has said that she did not feel heard on any level the last time she went before court. That's because once a person gets labeled or involuntarily committed, everything one says is taken as suspect. Her reported diagnosis was given to her as a young female who the institution deemed was in need of correction, with the only proper treatment being that of psychiatric drugs. And people are surprised of this? Unlawful detainment cases have been on the books since the 1970s, right up until the present day. And I personally am still at risk being detained somewhere down the line based on my background. I was interested in pursuing a lawsuit once regarding the violation of my civil liberties and human rights in a particularly hostile incarceration by a particular hospital in Westchester, New York. I reached out to many organizations and received no support or encouragement. They've seen this before so many times and they can only help so many people. When I asked the psychiatric rights organization Mind Freedom International for guidance, which is a non-governmental advocacy organization for the psychiatric survivors movement that claims to be a pressure group to oppose human rights violations within the mental health system, they gave me little reassurance. Office manager Sarah Smith emailed me and said, "Even if the organization had a $1 million grant, we would still not have enough resources to deal with the tsunami of psychiatric victims who approach us for legal assistance or sanctuaries for those fleeing from psychiatric harm and involuntary treatment." I'm not crazy or alone in seeing how this so-called mental health care system is rigged with the state law enforcement agencies and the pharmaceutical companies as they issue forced abusive care while they violate human, civil, and constitutional rights because of the criminal laws on the books. Anyone who is a dissident and says something that is against status quo can be slapped with a label, said to be psychotic, and then thrown away into confinement with no rights as they convince everyone else involved that there is something medically abnormal about their behaviors and thoughts. As attorney Jim Gottstein said, a lot of times people get, you know, swept up because they're engaging in disturbing behavior, you know, like they're upsetting people. We don't like dealing with them as a society. We've basically turned that over to psychiatrists or other mental health professionals to get people out of the way. Inner Compass Initiative leader Laura Delano said, "Really, what this comes down to is the power of psychiatric diagnosis, the power of a clinician's gaze onto an individual, the power that comes with that clinician saying, 'In my professional expert assessment, this person is mentally ill. I've analyzed, I've evaluated them.' And that is all it takes, is an evaluation to create what sometimes is lifelong imprisonment for a person." Professor David Cohen says, "We have armies of mental health professionals who offer themselves up, but we license and accredit them as knowing things we don't know, presumably that they can, you know, plumb the depths of whoever we are, and with their instruments and tools and judgments and eyeballs, they can just say, 'This is why this happened. This is what this person really is, and this is what makes them tick, and this is what to do about it.' By now, this is part of the scene. We shouldn't be surprised about it. We rely on this idea that we have these people in our society to take the problem away. These all-knowing professionals of human behavior, the priests of today making judgments about every particular behavior known, are empowered to determine who should be free in our society, often without context of the behavior being evaluated. Can anyone really know in the hospital what it was like to be Britney with her fame and status? It is ridiculous to even put her in the same camp as everyone else. But they don't see that because they never evaluate the whole picture. They only see behavior. In their science, environment has a lot less to do with these illnesses than you think. And then there are many who say, well, we don't know what's in her medical records. Guys, let me tell you a thing or two about medical records. They can take down anything they like and make it something else entirely different, because most of the time, medical records have very little to do with any real healthy treatment and more so documentation for the insurance companies. You have to see my records, the lies, the misinterpretations, the convoluted conclusions. There's this overwhelming trust in the system that they must know more. There is a science to this. It is a lie. It is not a science. It is a philosophy. And it is a philosophy that pushes the idea that some people are born defective and they deserve to have their rights nullified. As Jim Gottstein says, often the lawyer is appointed and the judges feel, well, if this person wasn't crazy, they'd know this was good for her to lock her up and stuff. So they don't think the person's rights are at all important because they're doing what's best for the person. And as a result, the information about why it's not really in the person's best interest doesn't get presented, and it makes it a phony legal proceeding because under our system, it's called the adversary system. One side is supposed to present their side and prove their side, and the other side is supposed to contest it as vigorously as possible and make the accuser actually prove their case, and it doesn't happen. The psychiatric system is affecting millions of people in this country, and it doesn't fall in line with your basic criminal law system that applies to everybody else that is not labeled mentally ill. You can be holding a bloody dagger in your hand and say, I did it, next to the scene of a murdered individual, and you will still be able to have an attorney of your choice and have a fair trial. This isn't the case with psychiatric imprisonment, and it is a loophole that many people are suffering under. Do you really think that everyone who is denied rights deserves to have rights denied? Isn't it obvious in the case of Britney, as much as people are fighting this, that it doesn't make sense? Why should she, 13 years later, need to be reevaluated again and again to prove that she should have personal freedom in this country? This move is only for the thriving of the institution, not the individual. Of course she won't pass the test. And that is why Britney is against being reevaluated, because she knows she will lose. Based on their point of view, her mental illness is degenerative, and it consistently applies that her feelings are not in line with reality, that she doesn't know what she's saying, and she does not know what's good for her. How can you prove otherwise if this is the overriding assumption based on that diagnosis? Med rights advocate and author Seth Farber wrote, in the psychiatric meta-narrative, noncompliance is treated both as pathology and as misbehavior, as a sign that the patient is both mad and bad. The attitude of mental health professionals to mental patients has been losing its soft edge of seemingly benign paternalism and becoming increasingly punitive, although still wrapped in terminology of medical care. in those passing 13 years, Britney has released 3 albums and spent 4 years performing in her Las Vegas show, selling 900,000 tickets and grossing $138 million. She still hasn't showed capacity to take care of herself. So on June 23rd, at an online court hearing live streamed to the news media, the pop star asked Judge Brenda Penny, in no uncertain terms, to end the arrangement. "I just want my life back. The conservatorship should end," she said. "I shouldn't be in a conservatorship. If I can work and provide money and work for myself and pay other people, it makes no sense. Basically, this conservatorship is doing me way more harm than good." Today, Britney's words are my words, and I have a lot more in common with her than I had in the past. In her testimony, she says, "I led a room of 16 new dancers in rehearsals. It's funny to hear my manager's side of the story. They all said I wasn't participating in rehearsals and I never agreed to take my medication, which my medication is only taken in the mornings, never at rehearsal. They don't even see me. So why are they even claiming that? This has happened to me again and again. Many times when I was put forth in front of an emergency room admission, they were told that my family told them I wasn't taking medication. And they weren't even living with me. Basically, if you do something that is out of alignment with what they think you should be doing, they claim that you're not taking medication." Britney said, "Ma'am, I'm not here to be anyone's slave. I can say no to a dance move. I was told by my, at the time, therapist, Dr. Benson, who died, that my manager called him and then that moment told him I wasn't cooperating or following the guidelines in rehearsals. And he also said I wasn't taking my medication, which is so dumb because I've had the same lady every morning for the past 8 years give me my same medication and I'm nowhere near these stupid people. It made no sense at all." And not for anything, but who is Dr. Benson to understand anything about how rehearsals should be run? Britney testifies after she admitted she didn't want to do the Vegas tour anymore. "My therapist sat me down in a room and said he had a million phone calls about how I was not cooperating in rehearsals and I haven't been taking my medication. All of this was false. He immediately the next day put me on lithium out of nowhere. He took me off my normal meds I'd been on for 5 years, and lithium is a very, very strong and completely different medication compared to what I was used to. You can go mentally impaired if you take too much, if you stay on it longer than 5 months. But he put me on that and I felt drunk. I really couldn't even take up for myself. I couldn't even have a conversation with my mom or dad really about anything." People were shocked over this, that she was forcibly drugged with bad medication. "Guys, the same thing happened to me and many other people. Lithium is one of the worst drugs I was ever put on, and I suffered enormously from it, having to leave commitments that I was involved in creatively because it squashed my creativity. I couldn't pick up a paintbrush anymore. I was unable to speak. I was unable to read. I was unable to think. And it was horrendous. And to think that they forcibly drugged Britney, it's not a shock to me. The freedom the institution has to muscle its way into the singular approach of a patient's choice of recovery with no alternative treatments allowed has affected the freedom of any labeled individual in the system. Part of the system is forced drugging. Regarding being reevaluated, Britney pleaded with the court, "Honestly, I don't think I owe anyone to be evaluated. I've done more than enough. I don't feel like I should even be in a room with anyone to offend me by trying to question my capacity of intelligence, whether I need to be in this stupid conservatorship or not. I've done more than enough. I don't owe these people anything, especially me, the one that has roofed and fed tons of people on tour on the road. It's embarrassing and demoralizing what I've been through." I've heard people say things like, "Oh, well, you know, I trust the system and I trust the courts and we don't know what the evidence shows and we don't know what the evaluations show and that's what the law says." As Jim Gottstein fully admits, the law, they don't know about what the medical experts know. In their minds, the medical experts take care of that. So they call those people in, and based on what they say, they then defer to the medical experts because that's their job, that's their knowledge, that's their professional field. And that's what the problem is. People keep thinking it's the law, the conservatorship itself, or the abuses of Jamie. I can look from the outside and say the same things about my parents, that my parents did all the wrong things. And years ago in 2017, when I basically had to pull away from my parents so that they weren't involved with my daily living, you know, they looked at my life and they made judgments about how I did things and whether or not it was normal or mentally healthy, or and ways that were healthy for me might not have been healthy for them. But, you know, they were pointing to things like I was eating, nuts and raisins. So they felt that that wasn't healthy enough. Meanwhile, I'm extremely healthy for my age. These are judgments. And psychiatry is not a science. That's what people don't realize. It is a fundamentally subjective discipline. And if you look at the psychiatric literature, even inside the psychiatric journals, they admit that how they come to conclusions is through subjectivity, basically the opinions of the psychiatrist. And if you end up in the hands of the wrong psychiatrist who's looking at things completely different than you on that particular day, you will be penalized possibly for the rest of your life, which is what has happened to Brittany and myself. Brittany says in her testimony, they have me go into therapy twice a week and a psychiatrist. So that's three times a week. I've never in the past went to see a therapist more than once a week. It takes too much out of me going to this man I don't know. Number one, I'm scared of people. I don't trust people with what I've been through. There were several times in her testimony where she said she was depressed, that she says she doesn't trust people. In their opinion, even though we can see her testimony and see the overall arc of her life and know why she feels those things, those admissions in court are things that the psychiatric institution will point to say that she has behavioral instincts that are paranoid, that are dangerous to her well-being or safety, personal safety, that she could hurt herself. There's no way to win against this, against their philosophies, against their way of looking at things. The way of looking at things is the problem. The biomedical model is the problem. It is the philosophy of psychiatry which is the problem. Brittany said in her testimony, and now we can sit here all day and say, oh, conservatorships are here to help people. But ma'am, there's 1,000 conservatorships that are abusive as well. I don't feel like I can live a full life. I don't owe them to go see a man I don't know and share him my problems. I don't even believe in therapy. I always think you take it to God. Well, they don't believe in God. They don't believe in anything inside your mind as being true. They don't believe in anything that's abstract. They see it as delusional. Perhaps the most shocking in her thing in her testimony was admitting that she isn't allowed to get pregnant or be married based on what they think the conservatorship allows. She says, I was told right now in the conservatorship, I'm not able to get married or have a baby. I have an IUD inside of myself right now, so I don't get pregnant. I wanted to take the IUD out so I could start trying to have another baby. But this so-called team won't let me go to the doctor to take it out because they don't want me to have children, any more children. People were shocked over this, but I dealt with this on a very personal level. They did not want me to have kids. They sent me to Boston to be talked out of it because they didn't want me to get off the medicine I was on. And so they did everything they could to talk me out of it. Thank God I broke away and decided to have a child on my own. But again, I wasn't as restricted as Brittany, and yet my life has been extremely restrictive. So she has no rights over her body or reproductive rights. Hello. I've been talking about this stuff for years. The bottom line is they're afraid that she's going to do something. They're afraid she's going to make a wrong decision. But aren't we allowed to make bad decisions? these bad decisions are sometimes the best lessons for our good decision-making in the future. This institution robs people of their future. You aren't allowed to have one by your own will. This idea that she might hurt herself if we don't watch over her like a hawk is ridiculous. I could see even when she was young, she was in a bad place. It was the result of not having any experience with such a wild kingdom that was the land of the rich and famous. And only those who reach that kind of stardom know the pressures that go with it. And many of Britney's peers on that level are widely sympathetic to her. So this affair raises the philosophical questions that no one wants to look at hard and long. Who is allowed to be free in America? This should not even be a conversation, and I'm thrilled that people are fighting it. It's so important for the press to give a platform to the voices of people with lived experience in the mental health system and their advocates. No one knew this was going to be heard. She wasn't allowed to speak. But now that she was heard, everybody is reacting in disgust, in dismay. We need to pull together and fight these wrongs in this country. I'm happy to say that across the aisle, people are coming together, Democrats and Republicans, to propose a bipartisan bill to free Britney. Democratic Representative Charlie Crist of Florida and Republican Representative Nancy Mace of South Carolina on Tuesday, July 20th, unveiled their Freedom and Right to Emancipate from Exploitation Act, called the Free Act, during a virtual news conference. The Free Act would allow a person under a legal guardianship or conservatorship the right to petition the court to have their court-appointed guardian replaced with a public guardian. It also guarantees that individuals under guardianships are assigned an independent caseworker and require caseworkers and public guardians disclose their finances to ensure there's no conflict of interest. It also would require states to provide an up-to-date database on how many people are under guardianships or conservatorships. The legislation is narrowly crafted to attract further bipartisanship support. As Mace said, her situation is a nightmare. If it can happen to Britney Spears, it can happen to anyone in this country. And she's right. But in Britney's despair right now, I have hope. Even someone with the fame and fortune as Britney can be destroyed and denied a life by the system. Isn't it clear she was born with the right stuff? There's not enough evidence that she has great genes. Her talent isn't enough. Finally, through her story, the average person may understand. And with the help of civil rights advocacy and the right media coverage, the conversation is beginning. And with these new proposed laws, reform is on its way. I like to think there is hope for Britney. And in hope for Britney, there is hope for millions of us. Because it is very clear that people are not aware of what is going on. And if more of us can figure out a way to be heard, we may have a chance at change in the future as well. Right now, I'm all about hashtag Free Britney, and you should be too. Thanks for listening to Not As Crazy As You Think, and don't forget to subscribe to my YouTube channel. And remember, mental health is attainable for anyone, especially those labeled with mental illness. Until next time, peace out.